What's up, everyone? It's finally here. The start of the USL Championship season for 2024. Big matchup opening the season for Orange County on the road in Sacramento. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff. Hey, let's have some fun and let's get this thing going perfectly and right. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Helping me out for this episode first, we've got the bearded one himself, Mr. Larry, the baseball ump and soccer fan, Instagram star, whatever you want to call him. Larry, how excited are we for the start of the season?
How excited am I? Man, it's hard to answer that question. I mean, I'm not counting things down, 119 hours to kick off, 118 hours, 58 minutes and 47 seconds to kick off. I could not be any more excited for this season. And we get to go to Sacramento to start the season. Let's just go ahead and lay some smackdown on, you know, the team that everybody's picking to win the West. Sounds like a good time to me.
It does sound like a good time. It sounds like fun. I think last time we were in Sacramento, it was a fun time for the Orange County players.
It was.
So hopefully we repeat that. Also helping us out this episode, the return of Miss Taylor.
Hello. I'm so happy to be back. I feel like every time I'm like, always like so happy to be back because it's always so long in between. But this is very exciting. Last podcast ahead of our up first game of the season. So super stoked to be here.
And this is the best of the Taylors. Forget all other Taylors in the world. This is the best Taylor right here talking soccer with us on Monday evenings. Or if you listen to the podcast, you know, podcast form. We got one other person helping us out tonight, and we're just going to jump right into it. I'm going to bring him on. He's, I believe this is now the second time he's been on our show, but this is Jared from State of the Republic. He covers Sacramento Public from Phoenix, from Butterfly Land. What's up, Jared? How you doing?
Good evening, everybody, and good evening, neighboring Southern California. But yes, second time here. Of course, you can tell I'm kind of hoping things are different from the Hughes Stadium match, but either way, it's going to be a great weekend coming up this Saturday.
I'm excited for it. I think we're all excited for it. We've been waiting for this. I talked about it last week. This is approaching quicker than I think many of us really felt. I think all of us felt there was a little bit more time, a little bit more time to get prepared. And now here we are, smack dab in it. And if we look at Jared's wearing the Sacramento Republic Hummel kit, hey, we're partners in the brand, at least in the kit manufacturer now, which is cool to know.
Exactly. We're familia now. I mean, not just the fact that we're Californian teams, but you got to admit these Hummel kits, I'm sure the orange and black ones are as well, just like a cloud by how comfortable they are. So once again, welcome to the Hummel family.
We're excited about it. I know there was a tease earlier today from Orange County Soccer Club. More than likely, we're going to get a kit release here in the next 24 hours is what I'm going to assume. It is media day for the club tomorrow, so I'm sure there's going to be some stuff shown at that. Larry looks like he was going to chime in really quick on that.
Yeah, you know, that little teaser that they did today, I'm not going to lie, completely fired me up. Can't wait to see what the team is going to give us this year. We already saw that mock-up of what the U.S. Open Cup kit is going to look like, and I'm already stroking a check to Orange County Soccer Club here, take that money, and then the away kits here, take that money, and the home kits, just take all of my, this is why I'm umpiring high school ball this year, so I can make extra money so I can buy more kits. That's the exact reason why.
And we're not going to lie, Larry and a few other members of CLC may have gotten a more in-depth teaser of kits, but we're not going to release what we saw. That's all we're keeping. We're going to let the club have that fire when they release it officially. Jared, how have you felt with what you've seen from Sacramento on their kits so far this season?
Well, there's a bit of wide consensus. Of course, it's obviously different from the clubs. That as far as the home kit, it seems like as though the club is, for lack of a better term, trying to wean us off the old glory red. Because as you can tell with this sash, that it's a mix of two reds. You have old glory red, which is the darker red, and then the resilient red, as they're claiming it. But also, just this past weekend, when we had our preseason against Monterey Bay, it seems the warm-up kits actually got a lot better reaction compared to the home kits, which I know some folks, when they see it on social media, they may see like images of like Super Mario Brothers blocks or maybe the blocks from Tetris with how they design the patterns. But you know, I actually like that a lot better. And then this is the away kit for this year. So also doing the two reds things. But as far as the Orange County kits, I did see a mock-up of that U.S. Open Cup jersey. That does look fire. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And I'm sure, you know, folks in Orange County might as well just set up the direct deposit to the club to get all the club's kits this year. Because unlike Phoenix Rising FC, Orange County's look amazing.
And one last thing, and we'll get into talking actual soccer, but your kits are a fun thing to talk about. Crest badges are. Does Sacramento change their badge a little bit, I see, man? And I know there's been some trash talk a little bit here and there or confusion. I heard someone use the words whitewashed, like they like sort of faded out the road, like you've been sitting out in the sun all day and the lost its color. What's going on with that?
It's also something I've heard with Colorado Springs switchbacks, how they've done something similar or gone minimalist with their crest. But it is something I have noticed as well. Usually on the sides, there's like a little ribbon ends and also the words Herbs and Domina. But on this year's kit, and I'm probably going to zoom in here, you'll notice there is quite a difference there. So I'm not sure it's either cost saving, you know, like having to, you know, like lop off the ends, make things a little bit cleaner. I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, at least we're not the only club that's experiencing it. It still sucks, of course. But at least Orange County doesn't really have to worry about that. You know, everything's kept the same in a good way. And really, you know, there's not much to improve as far as some of the designs. Of course, you also got the star above the crest, too. So that helps things out.
Stars are fun. Stars are fun to have on crest, right? I think everyone can agree with that. Right, Taylor? I'm going to go to you. Stars are awesome.
Yeah, I like a star. I like the feeling of winning the star, and I'm hoping maybe we can push for that again this season too.
Oh yeah, I think we're all hoping. I know. Was it either the USL show? I believe it was the USL did their sort of preseason fan poll stuff, and I guess what they got was Orange County would be happy to host a playoff match. I don't think most Orange County fans would be satisfied with just hosting a playoff match. I think we're all anticipating Orange County at least winning one, but making a deep run into the hopefully finals. I know Sacramento has the same hopes and aspirations as Orange County on that as well. Really quick, before we get any deeper in this, I don't know if he's ready. He looked ready, but now he's, I think, taking care of his little dog. Brad's in the green room. We're going to wait just a moment to bring him on here, but we want to let him speak briefly about kits and stuff like that before we move on to soccer. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to go to all of you. What kit from any team in any league has really caught your eye so far this year? And if you don't have an idea, because this is an out of left field question, but if anyone has any kits they're really loving this year, let me know.
I saw Charleston Batteries. I kind of like those. I thought those looked pretty sharp.
Charleston Battery. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to step out. I'll step out of USL. Sorry. Give a non-USL answer. But San Diego Waves this season are like amazing. Completely not related, but I had to throw it out there.
Nice. Jared, did you have something other than your hometown kit?
Yeah, I was going to reach across the conference and head over to Pittsburgh. I mean, they've got a great kit design instituting their bridge. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little jealous by how good they did their bridge kit.
Awesome. Well, Brad's having a little bit of technical difficulty, so he's going to work on that. So we'll bring him on later. But let's talk about this upcoming match, the opening match for the 2024 USL Championship season. And what a great first match to have. It's two of the, I guess you could say, better teams over the last, you know, few years in the Western Conference. I mean, Orange County did have a poor season after it was like sort of the championship hangover season. We struggled a little bit, but other than that, Orange County is usually doing something. Sacramento is usually doing pretty good. Let me ask you, Jared, before we get into the Orange County side of things, tell us about Sacramento and how their preseason has, how the team has looked in the preseason. And are you expecting them to come out firing on all cylinders, or is there still some work to be done up north?
Well, much like Orange County, you know, we're looking to bounce back from last year's playoffs. And I'm sure both of us want to hammer Phoenix Rising into the ground after last playoffs. But this past offseason has actually been pretty good. We've kept the core of our players. We've said goodbye to a couple of good names, such as Luther Archimed and Keiko Gontan. But we've had some pretty good pickups. I've gotten a few from USL League One, such as I do apologize for having a bit of a brain fog here, but we've gotten quite a few players from USL League One, from other teams like Jonathan Ricketts, Jared Mazzola, you know, a good goalie backup. And I think the aim is to get back into the playoffs again, get past that Phoenix hump, and bring another cup home. But it's obviously not going to be an easy task. I mean, there are no easy matches anymore. Especially against Orange County. We unfortunately know about that, especially being at that Hughes Stadium match against Orange County. We ended up losing 2-0. Yeah, this is what happens on a Monday. Ended up losing 2-0 to Orange County. But then again, those are always grudge matches. You know, there's never been an easy match against Orange County. So this weekend, the season's going to start off big for both Sacramento Republic FC as well as Orange County SC. So definitely going to be a E-class ticket, as they say.
Yeah, you know, I got to second that. This is this matchup between OCSC and Sacramento. These are two heavy hitters. These are two of the premier teams, not just in the Western Conference, but in the USL Championship. We all of us sitting here know, everybody who watches USL Championship knows, the Western Conference is stronger than the Eastern Conference. That's why in the predictions, they have four teams in the East who are a 100% lock, and there's only one team that's a 100% lock by way of predictions for the playoffs. That just tells you how tough, what a gauntlet it is to run through Sacramento, to run through Orange County, to run through Phoenix, to run through San Antonio. Hey, Colorado picked up that, what's that fella's name with the long hair? Oh, yeah, Damus. He's going to score 15 for them. This is exciting, and it's a lot of fun. And then when you get to start the season off against another banging club like Sacramento, I mean, win, lose, or draw, Saturday night is going to be a great time. It's going to be so much fun to watch this game and to kick off the season against really, really good competition. Teams that I predict right now, I will say it right now on March 4th, these are the 1 and 2 teams in the West.
Sacramento. Let me ask you, Larry, which team finishes first between the two then?
I mean, come on, Orange County, of course, because we're going to have the tie break because we're going to win Saturday. We're going to win in the next game. It's just what happens, Jared. It's not personal. I love you, man. But it's not
personal. Do you agree, Jared? Jared, do you agree?
I've had to put in the prediction for this week's State of Republic podcast, which is going to be dropping this week. And I'll put it this way. I hope I get proved wrong, but I did put a 2-1 edge for Orange County over us. But once again, my predictions have not always panned out. So who knows? But there's a reason why this match got bumped up to CBS Sports Golazo Network this Saturday. So, yes, Orange County, Sacramento County, Maricopa County, wherever you're watching, if you can get the internet, you got to be watching this game.
I think anyone that has an opportunity that's not going to be at the stadium is going to be checking this match out. It's actually, like y'all said, premier matchup of the league. Although I don't know how much the league loves Orange County. And we know they love teams like Sacramento and like Phoenix and Vegas now this year with Joey Bats taking over in the desert there, north of Phoenix, I guess, or northwest of Phoenix. Who knows the direction?
Yeah.
But Orange County got sort of shafted with the national broadcasts when the league released all that information. They didn't get any nationally televised matches. Sacramento at least got some, right? I believe Sacramento is going to be on national television.
Yep. We have four matches on linear television. We have two on CBS Sports Network, two on ESPN2. Phoenix Rising here, or as I call them now, LAFC Rising, they're getting at least five national broadcasts.
Yeah, that sort of stung. Being that Orange County is realistically in contention as one of the teams that could possibly come out of the West, it's really disappointing that there's not going to be any kind of national knowledge of this team other than people that really, really focus on this league. Most people aren't going to really pay attention to Orange County, especially I'm talking about those that don't have ESPN Plus, because obviously there's going to be a lot of ESPN Plus coverage for the team. But it was disappointing that at least not every team has at least one, if not two, of the nationally televised games, instead of really loading it heavy with five of the teams in the league getting a big chunk of them and five or six teams being left with zero on over-the-air CBS or ESPN or CBS Sports Network. That's where I'm like, are we really one of the premier teams in the league? I know, Larry, I agree with you. I think we really are. I just think it's just difficult. And I know Orange County plays in a smaller stadium than some of the teams that are going to get covered. I know Louisville has the ginormous stadium that they play in, and it looks awesome. But, hey, we play road games. We play on the road. We're playing, I believe, in Louisville, right? Probably this year. I don't know. So there's an opportunity for Orange County to get a road game, at least, in one of those really big stadiums, because I'm sure the league wants to make it look like, you know, we have tens of thousands of people at these matches, which unfortunately the logistics of Orange County, we don't have. Sacramento, what are we going to see from them this Saturday? What should scare Orange County? Like, if we see whatever you're going to tell us right now on the pitch in the first 20 minutes, what scares Orange County fans?
Well, first of all, we've got Rodrigo Lopez back on the pitch. He was having a slightly off season last year, but something tells me he's back with a vengeance, because this past Saturday against Monterey Bay, the man scored a header. I mean, a Roro header goal is as rare as a McDonald's ice cream machine that works. So if that's going to tell you something to look out for, plus also we have our golden glove of the year, Danny Vitiello. I mean, he has won quite a few awards last year, and I expect him to turn up even higher. Of course, you have a lot of the returning core as well. Luis Felipe, Nick Ross, quite a big number of names to look out for. Plus, and I'm a little partial to it, Jared Timmer, you know, for obvious reasons. I mean, we are the team of Jareds now, so... either way, you can tell I've got a bias even without the crest. But this is definitely going to be a throwback to the Republic FC team that marched all the way up to the Western Conference Final. But once again, you know, we're taking on Orange County. It's not going to be a cupcake walk. I mean, it's going to be a slugfest between both of the teams.
I think it's for this game, I think it's going to be super high energy, but I think the scoring is going to be low. I see it being a 0-0. I mean, we have like our preseason games, I've not seen high scoring. There's definitely a shift up front on who we're going to be sending balls to. I think it's going to be an adjustment for Orange County, but we have a pretty good, solid team at the middle and back, and quite a few returning faces. Just the up front scares me, and especially seeing the preseason results. But I think if we can get that going into a new rhythm, I think we'll be good, and we will be a contender for one of the top spots.
Let me ask this out of you, Jared. Who's sort of from the preseason that you've seen? And obviously not many teams share much in the preseason, so a lot of it's just reading stuff or following on social media. Is there anyone that's been a surprise in the preseason for Sacramento that sort of is coming out of nowhere that you've heard of or you've seen or stats have looked like, ooh, this is going to be one to watch this season.
Well, I wish I could tell you. I mean, I really do. But kind of oddly enough, Republic FC's been kind of on the radio silence level of things. I mean, we had the Desert Friendlies tournament down the road in Tucson, but you know, those were all closed door matches. So to be honest, I'm really not getting a whole lot of information. Maybe that's a good thing for Republic FC, but you know, for his fans, it's kind of has us, you know, paying for this Saturday to find out, you know, who's going to be the big name that steps up out of nowhere. So I hate to say it, your guess is as good as mine.
That's similar to Orange County. I think everything was been closed door for Orange County except for the one season ticket holder event, or let me say season ticket holder slash new owners event, where they got to watch the Orange County SC versus Las Vegas match. I guess that's just the norm in the league, right? I think just it's something where the coaches see they don't want to show their hand too much before the actual games count, which I get. I understand that. But it sort of sucks. Us fans want to sort of know what we're getting into here and sort of see. We want to get a taste of it. We want to just see a little bit of it. And that just doesn't happen much in this league. Larry, were you going to chime in with something?
No. When you talked about owners, I was just pointing at myself, you know, Orange County Soccer Club owner right here. It's me.
Jared, did you jump in on that bandwagon and buy a piece of Orange County Soccer Club, even though you're a fan of another team?
No, I'm going to try to hope we get that distinction on Saturday.
I see what you did, Jared. I see what you did. All right.
But I do love the fact that Orange County is getting on like a lot, like a few of the other clubs, and opening ownership to the fans. I mean, that is definitely amazing. And that's another reason why I prefer USL over MLS. So I know it's just personal opinion, but it's just awesome to see the fans buying a stake in Orange County as well as any other club that offers it. So that's definitely great.
And Jared, in regards to favoring USL over MLS, I have never watched a game of MLS. I mean, I think maybe twice in my life I've watched an MLS game, and that was by accident because my TV remote was broke and stuck on Fox or something like that. I don't know. So, I will watch USL Championship all day, every day. I will not watch MLS, and I'll watch Premier League. And this matchup Saturday, let's talk about Premier League. You know, Sunday you've got Man City and you've got Liverpool. Saturday night you've got SAC and you got OCSC. Apples and apples right there, kids.
All right. I love the enthusiasm with that, Larry. Hey, I think Brad has his internet issue fixed. We're going to try and bring him on and see if we can actually introduce him into this conversation, and in case he has a question or two for Jared, because everyone knows Brad was a Reno supporter and fan, and apparently Reno and Sacramento didn't really like each other much for some odd reason there. Who knows why? But out of all of us, Brad has always been at least the more knowledgeable person when it comes to Sacramento, just because of his involvement with that rivalry there. Brad, welcome. How you doing, man? Are we excited?
Oh, man, I am a little bit tilted from my computer issues. I think I have one of the two issues solved. The other one's going to be another day, another problem. As for the game itself this weekend, I'm really looking forward to having the USL back. Love that the opening matchup is against Sacramento, and have had some wonderful memories down there at Papa Murphy's Heart Health Park. And I hope the guys traveling up from Orange County this week can have the same memories that I have, although hopefully not in the same dramatic style that Reno has had, both in favor of Reno and in favor of Sacramento over the years of our rivalry.
Let me ask this of you, Brad, because we sort of went through this. What do you think with this match between the two? What do you think the outcomes will be? We didn't do an official prediction on this. We just sort of been throwing scores. So this is an official prediction status. This is just like, what do you think this match is going to be like? I believe Taylor said a 0-0 result, a low scoring result. Larry, I don't know if you gave a score, Larry, or not. I know Jared gave a score of like 2-1 or something like that. I don't know what was going on with that. I think he meant Orange County 2, Sacramento 1.
Brad, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
So my thoughts on this matchup is Sacramento is a team that's still returning a lot of very frustrating players to play against. Mr. Jacker is the defensive player that comes to mind to me. And I believe they are also returning a couple of attacking players. Correct me if I'm wrong. Cicerone and Pirano are with Sacramento. Cicerone returning. Pirano signing, I believe, from San Antonio this last offseason. So Sacramento is a very well-balanced offensive and defensive team. The question mark for me comes with the goalkeeping. Is Danny Vitello still up for the... still up for the task. I know he had some good games and some not so great games last season. Hopefully for Orange County, he has a blunder early on and Orange County can pick back up where they left off last year. I think for me, this game is a 1-1 draw, however.
So you're more on the Taylor side of things, think it's going to be an even fought, low scoring type match. It'll be interesting. I'm excited about this. I really am. What else can we talk about this match before we talk more? And thank you for those that are, you know, listening or watching live and sharing your thoughts on the chats. We will help share some of the information. I see Jared even brought some listeners, or at least a listener, on to listen with us here from your podcast, Jared. So that's awesome to see. We like the camaraderie with all this. Larry, what was your thought, comment, question?
In regards to a score prediction of this game, it's very simple. We've got a guy coming on the show here in just a little bit, and part of his name is Shutler. So I'm saying 1-0 Orange County, and Colin Shutler gets his first clean sheet of the year. Matter of fact, our backline defense is so good, I'm going to make a prediction right now that Sacramento is only going to have one shot on goal in the entire 90 minutes. That's how good this game is going to be. And we're going to have one shot on goal, and it's going to go in the back of the net, and Ethan Zubak is going to score it. These are my predictions. Don't bet money on that.
Those are your, like, official predictions, Larry?
Well, nothing's ever official. I mean, it's not like this is videotaped or anything.
Oh, fun stuff, man. Larry's calling. Hey, let me ask this. Does anyone know, has there ever been – a clean year for a goalkeeper, like where they don't give up any goals all season long? Has that ever happened in the history of soccer?
Unless you're like 10. So. Yeah, unless you're like 10, there's no way.
I mean, unless the guy gets a shutout on opening night of the season and then breaks his leg and doesn't play the rest of the season. So there you go. There's his clean sheet for the year.
There we go. Jared, I just want to give you a last chance for any last things you have to say, any last questions before we let you go, and enjoy the rest of your evening out there in somewhere in the Butterfly City.
Well, first of all, for our friend that was formerly a Reno fan, I totally support the fact that he acknowledged he has a Reno problem and has gone to a better team. I had to throw that in there, you know, being from Sacramento, you know, down Highway 80 from them. So sorry, I had to get that in there. But no, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to this match. I mean, as far as the one shot on goal only, yeah, don't put any money on that. I mean, it's going to be a worse investment than Quibi.
And Jared, just really quick, based on what you know from the way the team plays, which side of the goal are they going to try and attack from? Just let us know really quick.
I mean, with the balanced attack that they have, I mean, there's really no pitting one side over the other as far as, you know, where they're going to favor the attack from. So, I mean, yeah, it's really a pick 'em. I can't lie. There's not a bad side for them to attack from.
All right, Colin, I know, is waiting in the green room. I was hoping you would give a nice insider piece of information so he could have that on his notes for the match. But unfortunately, you played it good there, Jared. You didn't give any hints away. For our listeners that don't know anything about you or your podcast, let them know where they can check out more from State of the Republic.
Absolutely. Anywhere you get podcasts, just search for State of the Republic podcast, and you'll find it there. And you can find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcast. You can even go into sacksoccerpod.com and listen with without a podcast client. You can also leave us a voicemail and let us know how the podcast is doing, any predictions, anything you've seen as far as RepublicFC.com. Even any mean suggestions against Phoenix Rising FC, although I'm sure the one I just dropped last week will probably have a couple bullet holes on my body than by the next batch. But yeah, definitely visit us, sacksoccerpod.com, and let's look forward to a great batch on Saturday.
Awesome, Jared. Thank you so much, as always, for jumping on the show. I hope we'll get to talk to you again later on the season when the reverse fixture takes place, and hopefully it's Orange County that is top of the table and Sacramento's struggling for playoff positioning.
Ooh. Yeah, about that. but nonetheless, thank you very much for having me on.
All right, perfect. So we're going to go from Jared. We're going to go right to our next guest because he is waiting in the green room and we don't want to waste his time. The next guest is your goalkeeper for Orange County Soccer Club, Colin Shuttler. Colin, I did my best to try and get you just a little bit of information from the expert that covers Sacramento, but unfortunately, they have a good poker face apparently.
Yeah. I'm not surprised he didn't give anything up, and I don't think many teams will going into the first week. That's why a lot of front offices are keeping quiet. And I mean, we've done a bunch of the same, and I know that we're not allowed to give out much information. So, but it was a good try from you. I love that.
I saw you waiting there in the green room, and I saw you were paying attention. I'm like, I'm just going to try. Who knows? Maybe we'll get at least a little hint of information for you. What is your thoughts of that? Because obviously we talked about that with Jared. It's very closed. It's closed door for most of the preseason. Teams don't leak information. They don't even let us fans really get a view. We got to see Orange County play the one match officially. I know fans at Championship Soccer Stadium can sort of hang around the fences and try and see stuff. Do you, as a goalkeeper, what are your thoughts on that? Because how does it impact you not really having a scouting report of the other team at this point of the season?
I go either way. Everywhere I've been at, we never give out much information in the preseason, and other teams don't for us. So, I mean, I know we might get some video from their preseason games, but a lot of that, there's a lot of changes and getting guys fit and whatnot. So we're kind of still feeling each other around as teammates, new teammates in the locker room. But going into a game like this, I don't mind it. I like just focusing on us. And I know that with the locker room that we have, if we do focus on us and make sure that we go into the game strong, that we can beat anyone in this league. So I would always back us in that way.
One of the nicknames that the fans have thrown upon you is the name known as Shutout Shuttler. You had quite a few of those last season. We were just joking with Jarrett and talking with ourselves. Like, has a goalkeeper ever had a shutout like for the entire season? Obviously that would be very difficult. What do you think? Are you ready to put some more shutouts on your resume this season? And how important is a strong defense in front of you to achieve multiple shutouts in the season?
I am definitely ready for a lot more shutouts this year. I've never heard of a goalkeeper going a whole season without it. I do remember in college, I had the same nickname, and I was actually telling our media people about that. But I think I went the first 11 games without a goal on me, and it was the longest ever. And ironically, the very first goal that we gave up was an own goal. yeah, interesting situation. So even two games after that, they were like the only people that have scored on them is themselves. So that was an interesting story. But the guys that are in front of me in this locker room, I owe everything to. I mean, they were the ones that picked me up last season and just carried me along the way. I know a lot of the credit goes to me just being the rock behind them, but they do all the work and I just talk to them and love watching them play in front of me. So.
Well, that sounds fantastic, but I will bring up that there's a little flickering rumor going around that you might have a jersey number switch, and it may be a number one. So we were just curious whether there's any truth to that.
I cannot confirm or deny until it fully comes out, but there might be a switch. Number one was my number in college. It's not my usual number that I would ask for, but it's definitely that starting keeper number that I would definitely love to be wearing. So we'll see which number I'm wearing on Saturday, I guess.
Excellent. And then my other question for you is, how is it training with the new keeper that we have on the roster?
Durant is awesome. He's a great kid. I love the back and forth that we have already, just him coming in from San Diego. And I know my Morton and myself both give him a little bit of a stick from being from San Diego last year and how the game against them went and everything. But I love the practices that I've done already, and I can't wait to get into the season and kind of just bounce back ideas off each other even more.
And really quick, just to follow up on that, I mean, you're not old, Colin. You're nowhere near being old, but you're sort of the elder goalkeeper on this team now. What's it like having that role and instilling some of your knowledge into a young keeper like Duran?
Yeah, I've never been the old keeper. Well, I guess in college. No, I was the young keeper in college. Never mind. I've never been the older keeper on the team yet. So it is a little bit interesting. I have kind of migrated towards the younger guys in my years of being on teams and taking them under my wing. I kind of love having that big brother vibe to myself because I was always a young brother growing up. It was just me and one other brother. So I definitely feel like I'll be able to thrive on it, and I love the opportunity for it.
So Colin, in 2019, you became the first, where did I have it? I lost it.
I could probably verbatim say it for you because I think
what do you think it is, Colin? Tell him.
First Virginia goalkeeper since Tony Meoli to be all ACC. Now, that guy Meoli, I heard he was pretty good, but the first one in 30 years. Tell us about finding out about that moment when you found out that you got named to this to the all ACC team.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, Ray. So yeah, I was one step ahead. But I mean, Tony Meola had an incredible career, and hearing about his name coming up in the same conversation of me is definitely a privilege. And I've been working my whole life to try to be in the same conversation as any top goalkeeper in the nation. So it was a great honor, and I was able to share that honor with multiple of my teammates. And actually that one year is when my brother was on the team with me as goalkeeper, funny enough. So it was,
and yet you were still the number one then.
Yes. it was such a special moment that we were able to share together.
Yeah, I've no doubt that would be a really cool. I grew up with two older sisters, so I didn't have the good fortune to play sports with either one of them. Let's talk about the shutout shuttler and the fact that you had 11 clean sheets last year, third best in the league, and you missed. I don't even remember how many games. I know you had. I think you had a concussion. You had a shoulder injury because I saw you up in the stands one day, and I was like, "Hey, Colin," you're like, "Whoa, hey, easy. I hurt my shoulder." So if you don't, what did you miss? 5, 6, 7 games last year.
I actually missed a lot more. I was out in the season as well, but yeah, okay. 5 and yes.
So third most, just 2 behind the leaders. Tell us right now, do you win the Golden Glove if you were in all 34 games last year?
Of course. back up where Brian was when he said yes right away last week. I would back myself all the way.
Awesome. Yeah, when Brian did that to Brad last week, it threw Brad off. Brad didn't even know how to handle it. He's like, what do I do now? I don't know what else to say. Well, you are now in your third season with Orange County Soccer Club, and we all have loved watching you mature as a player. And we sit back here as pundits like we know what the hell we're talking about, and we don't, but we try. But we've had conversations about your goalkeeping and things, and something that I noticed on Saturday at the game is that you looked very, very confident with the ball at your feet. And that seems to be maybe something, is that something that you've worked on? Maybe something that you saw as a weakness, something that you felt like you needed to improve on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. And first of all, thank you for always supporting me in those couple of years. It's been a roller coaster of emotions and with the team, but my when I get asked what's the first piece of advice for young goalkeepers, the very first thing that I say is be comfortable with the ball at your feet. And I was lucky enough to have a coach when I was very young to incorporate me with the field players. I was, and still am, a field player at heart. I would love to play in the field with all those guys and just have the ball at my feet for the longevity of the game. But I mean, a goalkeeper's job, I think I would touch the ball with my feet 75% more of the time than with my hands. So if you do that math, you need to train your feet so much more than your hands. And that doesn't happen a lot with goalkeepers, but I think it is starting to with the modern goalkeeper. So I've always taken pride with that. And I love the ball at my feet. Yes.
So if you are not a goalkeeper, where are you playing? Are you a midfielder? Are you playing up front? Are you taking Milan's 39 goals away from him and putting them in the Colin Shuttler back pocket?
Yeah, I'll get a little bit of stick for this in the locker room because I know I say this all the time and they'll say, no, never. But in high school, my brother and I were both goalkeepers. So he played goalkeeper for 4 years and I played the 9 or the 10 spot for 3 of my 4 years in high school. I like a more central position. I wasn't as fit as some of the wingers or outside back, but I'm still a goalkeeper at heart too. So, but I would be one of the ones running the top probably.
Awesome.
Awesome to hear. Really quick before I hand it off to Brad, Larry, you got to give respect here. We have a knowledgeable person on our podcast who actually played goalkeeper out in Scotland in the past. So we can't act like we don't know what we're talking about. That's one of the reasons we love having Taylor on the show.
But she's a Taylor. Warrior now. If I need my goalkeepers drawn up, I'm going to call her.
Oh, man.
But she's a goalkeeper at heart.
Goalkeeper at heart. I was never one of the people, though, that could be like, I'd go play that 9 or 10 spot or any spot out in the field. I belonged in between the sticks, and that was it for sure.
Yeah. All right. Remember last that you were a goalkeeper, and I'd love that about it. So, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Brad.
No. So welcome back, Colin. So first of all, I'm going to skip my question because it's a story from last season. My next question that I was actually going to ask. So North Texas SC, notable alumni include Ronaldo Damas, Ricardo Pepe, and one Mr. Colin Shuttler. So the USL pipeline has evolved significantly over the last couple of years. What's your opinion on where the USL is positioned now compared to other leagues around the world? And, you know, that pipeline of moving on to the next stage, if it's for you, if it's not for you.
Yeah, I mean, you said, well, two great players that have gone overseas already. I have not gone overseas yet, but thank you for putting me in that same conversation. I did not play with Ronaldo. He actually left the year before me, but I did have the privilege of playing with Ricardo, and he was a great player on the practice field. I didn't play with him on the game field, of course. He was with the first team for games, but I think the USL is really building itself up, and you can see that with Correte going across, going overseas in Milan now. So I think they're building up as a league so much, and I know our front office is very keen on bringing up those young players and shipping them out. And thank you, Ray, for saying that I'm not old at all. And especially, I don't think I am either. My body definitely feels like it sometimes, but, I would love to get to that next level, whether that be the MLS or overseas. I'm still pushing to be at my very best every single week, and it's always a goal of mine to get to that next level again.
All right, so I got one more question for you. So when it comes to being a good goalie, there's three things that I think make the goalie great. You know, one, the defense, two, the knowledge, and three, just a little bit of luck. For you, obviously, you've made some incredible saves, but you also have a good defensive four in front of you. How do you kind of, as the goalie, organized with the defense? Is it more a them thing or is it more a you thing?
It's a collaborative effort. I mean, I know whoever's in front of me, Marcus Dillon, the wide backs, any other center backs, Foxy, they talk so much to each other. And they talk to the midfield in front of them. It's not even just the back line. I mean, it's a full team effort. And I know even Milan, with scoring all of his goals, he did a lot of defensive work as well that helped our back line and my job make it so much easier. And I know I yell at them and get in, not arguments, but little arguments with them about what we think is right and whatnot, but we're always learning from each other and never, I mean, the beauty of soccer, not all situations are going to be the same. Everything is going to be different. So we're always learning, but we're the ones out there on the field. So we got to learn it together.
Colin, I have a fan question. They want to know which stadium is the worst to play at because of the other team's supporter section.
Oh, supporters. Well, I haven't, being injured, I haven't traveled too many places. Unfortunately, I had to miss Sacramento last year, as you guys know, but
we missed you in that game, but it worked out okay.
Yeah, Juan did really well. And actually, going back on your zero goals against, I think Juan beat everybody. He had zero goals against in two games. So
that is correct.
he accomplished that. On supporters, oof, I don't know. I don't know if I want to pinpoint one supporters group because
they might be listening.
I know New Mexico gets a lot of fans, and I always have a lot of fun with the Colorado Switchbacks fans that are behind my goal. And I know San Diego is always a fun one to go to. Unfortunately, they won't be with us anymore. But yeah, those are three fan bases that are usually loud or coming at me for the most part. So, but I love that. And I always say, like, there's some games, I mean, I love being at home, but away games, like when we score a goal and the stadium goes silent, it's one of my favorite feelings in the world. I just love silencing crowds. How about that?
That's always the best way to do it, right? Silence the heckling crowds right there. Let me ask you this really quick, you know, sort of on that same subject. I bring some, you know, my sons and their friends to matches, and we sit in the cheap seats there with the supporters from time to time, and they like to go and heckle the opposing goalie when they're on that side of the pitch. Do you have any tips for the young players that want to heckle goalies? Like, what's the thing that gets under the goalies the most, or gets under your skin the most when you hear it from the little kids out there heckling?
I don't know. I think just the continuousness of it. I know, I mean, I've grown used to it just from college. I don't know if any of you guys know Eastern Conference, but like, we played Maryland and their fans are brutal. And I loved it. They would go through all of my social medias, figure out all the names that I'm close to, figure out my parents' names even. And I love it. They say some funny stuff and I smile and laugh and give them thumbs up, like have fun with them. And that's part of the beauty of the game for me as well. But I know other keepers hate it. They're trying to focus and that gets them out of their focus. So, I mean, just the continuous of saying their name or something like that, maybe.
And by all means, I don't try and teach them to be dirty. I try and teach them to be clean about it. Just like you said, keep saying the name, or, you know, if they have a name that just sounds like a something famous or popular, just talk about that. I think there was I forget what team you play on, last name Morton, I believe, last season. And the kids just kept asking about, do you have salt, or do you like salt, or where's your salt, all that time, you know, Morton salt, if people don't get that reference there. That was just my quick question there. I just want to find out. Oh, and then another thing I saw in the chats from the fans is, have you heard, or do you know your chant that the CLC has for you?
Of course I do.
You know it.
You will not catch me singing it, but yes, of course I do. It's
well, it's good. It's good to know that you guys get to hear it.
Singing your own name at the end of that chant. Come on, Colin.
Oh yes, I I've sang with them, but yeah, I've sang it with them at the field and everything. But yes, yes, I hear it every time. It's always an honor hearing it. I love hearing some of the other guys' names as well when they have a good play during the game. So yes.
Do you have a favorite chant that you've heard?
Mine. Are you kidding?
Outside of yours. I love that answer.
Ooh, it's been a while. I do like Seth's. I remember that one a lot. I like all of them, and it's been a while. I've probably forgotten a couple just off the top of my head, but I do like Seth's a lot as well.
Have you ever been with or seen a team that has like where the fans have a chant for every single player like this?
Definitely not every player. I know there's some fan bases will do a couple players here and there, like the goal scorers maybe, but it is a unique thing. And I know our players love hearing it every game, every home
game.
That's
awesome. That's awesome. Well, Colin, as always, we want to thank you for taking some time and speaking with us and sharing. And it was a fun conversation. I love it when we have a fun conversation like this, learn a little bit about you. Any last message you have heading into the season opener in Sacramento, maybe for the fans that are making the trip up there, or even just the fans in general for the 2024 season, any last message for them?
I'm just excited for this season. I know we ended with a great run last season, and we've kept a lot of our players, and we are all ready to continue building on that. And I know the fans are very excited for that as well. And we're excited to see you guys out there at championship, and the ones making it up to Sacramento, just be as loud as you can, because we know how this game is going to go, how it went last year, how loud their fans were. So we're going to try to silence them. And when we do, we want you guys to be loud.
Awesome. And one last quick question. I don't want to get you in trouble, so I'm not asking you to give any details, but have you seen any of the new kits? And if so, are the fans going to be excited about them? That's the only thing I want to ask you.
I have not seen them in person. I've seen a little bit of sneak peeks, only of mine, though. I always specifically for mine. So I actually don't know about the actual kits, so I can't get anything on that. But I'm excited to see mine in person. I'm excited to see what they did for the field players as well.
Awesome. We're looking forward to that as well. Colin, as always, thank you so much for hanging out with us, for sharing and being so open with your answers. We appreciate that. Best of luck to you this season, to the team this season. Let's rack up those shutouts starting this weekend in Sacramento.
I agree. Yes, sir. And thank you for having me on. Thank you for the great conversation. And I am looking forward to see you in Sacramento. And if not, in 2 weeks at Championship Soccer Stadium.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Colin Shetler, your goalkeeper for Orange County Soccer Club. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, it's awesome to have the players, the team jumping on here. So thank you, Colin.
Thank you so much.
All right, there we go. I know we caught flack last week of how horrible we were doing when we were interviewing Brian. We were in preseason form, but I think we've slowly ramped it up. I think we're in season form now. I think that was a really great conversation with Colin. Hopefully the listeners did as well. Hopefully I think Larry's like rolling his eyes. Maybe it wasn't a great conversation. Maybe
no, it was absolutely phenomenal. And I just put it in our little chat area. Great guest. Come back again. That might be one of the best interviews we've had with a player since I've been a part of the podcast. Colin's fantastic. We could have him on every week in place of Dylan.
Well, can I just say this right now, right? First week we have Seth, goes pretty well. Last week we have Dylan on the show, it's a cluster mess. This week, no Dylan, it goes amazing. So,
but who's back? I just want to point out that I'm back, and it went really well. So maybe it's me.
Additionally, I wasn't there last week.
The knowledgeable expert was here, and apparently Larry forgot that you were a knowledgeable expert, Taylor.
I forget nothing.
Okay, Larry.
I felt bad when you made that comment. Like, okay, yes, me, you, Brad, we probably don't know much. Taylor actually did this at one point in her life. I know she's not doing it as much anymore, but she actually did soccer stuff.
I will say I do know a little bit about goalkeeping. I will give myself that
just a little credit. Just a little. Awesome. Well, look at this. We had Jared on. We talked about that. We had Colin. We talked to him. Brad, is there an official prediction thing this season? Do we have to do predictions with you?
So we will. I will have that up in the Discord by, I'm going to give myself through tomorrow. I'm having my computer issues have definitely impacted my ability to do so today. I'm going to be diagnosing after this. But we're going to have predictions. I'm going to be removing the non-popular first goal scorer prediction part and adding a point to the Orange County score instead. So it'll be 3 points for proper decision or proper game. Sorry. 3 points for proper game, 1 point for Orange County score, 1 point for opposing team score for 5 points total. I know I said that backwards. It makes sense. Okay. I promise.
Are we gonna have a rule sheet? Because I did not get that.
It'll be in the directions.
Brad, I want you to create a wiki page for the instructions and the rules for our prediction match, so that way people like Taylor will know exactly what's going on. By the way, I think you all gave score predictions. I didn't do one for the match, so I'm going to do one really quick. I'm going to say 2-0 Orange County is going to win on the road in Sacramento. Shutout Scheller getting his first shutout of the 2024 season en route to a shutout season for Colin Shuttler this year. Yeah, let's get to quick random. Actually, no. We're going to just merge all this together. Does anyone have an important random thought? Because we're running low on time. Any important random thought that anyone really wanted to share tonight? If so, do it now.
Has any random thought ever actually been important?
I believe you've had random. I think you're
okay. The one a couple weeks ago that was kind of important.
Yes. Yes. So they have been important at some point. All right. Taylor, you have not experienced this, but we're going to do our newest little segment here to wrap things up. And it's what did we learn this episode? So I'm going to start off with Larry, since Brad was missing half of the episode. So I'm going to give him time to really think. But Larry, what did you learn in this episode?
I learned that Colin Shuttler is incredibly confident. He's also incredibly eloquent, and he speaks very highly, speaks very well, obviously better than me, since I apparently can't speak right now at all. I also learned that Colin played with his brother, and I had no idea about that part. So that is very cool to learn a little bit of insight on something like that.
Jesus, Larry, you named like four things and took all of them.
I know, he took all this stuff from us. He makes it hard for the rest. I'm never letting Larry go first again. Brad, what did you learn this episode? I'm making it hard for Taylor. She's going last.
Oh, I'll pick one that is not in Taylor's mind. I learned that Larry can butcher English just as much as he can butcher German.
I'll share what I learned. I shared that maybe I was wrong when I said the best of the Taylors is on our show, because I think all of you sort of made a weird face when I said that. You thought I was crazy, so... Apparently, Taylor isn't the best of the Taylors.
Well, I've learned that there's apparently better Taylors than I. I'm very not aware of this. But I did learn that I know the most about soccer because Larry professed that none of you guys do.
But he was including you in that statement, Taylor. That's where I got scared.
Yeah, no, I'm going to remove myself from that statement for sure.
Well, everyone, the season is here. We're all excited. For those making the trip up to Sacramento, safe travels, be loud, be seen, and especially be heard by the players on both sides and the other opposing fan base at the stadium. For those not making the trip up, enjoy the match however you do so. We learned, Jared said that the match is going to be on Golazo TV, so it'll be available for those that don't have access otherwise. It's a free streaming service. Go check it out. Go watch the match that way. I also want to just ask anyone, any of our listeners, whether you watch live and you follow along live, you listen to the podcast, please go on social medias. Follow us on X, on Instagram, on TikTok, wherever you like to go on your social medias. Share our posts, share our videos, like our stuff. And also, please, if you listen to us on something like Apple Podcasts or something, leave us a review and let others know what you think of us, or Spotify. Spotify is sort of our official podcast spot. So go on there and leave a review, leave a rating, share it with people. We appreciate you. And that's why we like to do this, is we like to have fun with each other, talking soccer and sharing our knowledge with everyone else. For everyone involved in this episode, including Larry, Taylor, Brad, producer Andy, our guests, Jared from State of the Republic, and Colin Shetler from Orange County Soccer Club. Thank you for listening or watching. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are, well, hold on. Sorry, producer. I did not create a new video, so it's going to be an old video for the outro, but we're out.